This is Sean Paul Day, and we are live here at GSS. That's London Taxi Radio. We are sponsored by City Diesel. I'd like to say come on down and get bargain diesel, but there's none left in the pumps, and that is how popular they are. Got a great show lined up, and there's a lot going on, isn't there? There is the Mishcon Dorea case still, and the people putting in. We've got the Crowd Justice Fund, remember that? Got that going. Are people putting in that? There's a lot of crowdfunding going on. And there's another big one. This is about TFL. It was always about TFL, wasn't it? I'll be joined by Trevor Merrills. He'll be in the studio and we'll be talking about the legal opinion that they are going to pursue.
You're listening to London Taxi Radio, the new voice of the London taxi trade.
You're listening to London Taxi Radio. You're listening to London Taxi Radio.
The air attack warning sounds like this is the sound.
This track sounds about right, huh? How do people get encouraged to undertake the knowledge? It's at a critical stage, isn't it? And what do you do when you become a cab driver? The options you have is go and work for Gett or you go and work for Uber. What is the difference? And I think if you was looking to undertake 4 years study and you looked at the differences between them, you'd see there is none. What would encourage you to take up the knowledge? And then 99% of us all drive a cab that's been restricted from certain roads. What good is that? We all know who's to blame, but it seems like there's a two-tier system in our industry. In our industry alone, within the cab trade. Let's have a look. There's a worshipful company of Hackney carriage drivers. What are they doing about the city? You've got a whole gallery of people sit around at the Mishcon Dorea conference. I call it a conference. Summons to the conference. Haven't seen them for 30 years. A lot in the trade, isn't there, that represent us? A lot of influential people. I think you've got Malcolm Pace. He looked like he's had one too many dinners at the worshipful company of Hackney carriage drivers. You got Riesel. Riesel, his parting words to the trade was, he wants to give something back. That's altruistic of him, isn't it? All his people all sit around. Rice is gone, I think. I don't know what value he got on the property there. And Oddy, well, I think he's still getting a consultation fee from Comcab. All these people don't drive a cab. But there's a lot of influence there, isn't there? They are considered as stakeholders. To me, there's only one stakeholder, and that's you, the driver. I didn't see Jeff Cayley. I think he still owes the milkman a fiver. One person that does drive a cab for a living, and that's the General Secretary at the UCG. That's Trevor Mills. I'll be speaking to him. Bit of a hiatus for 18 months. Keeping his counsel, he'll be telling you about that. And of course, the legal opinion that they have pending. It's, well, it's a go.
Yes.
It is not that fun.
When the night has come. When the night has come and the land is dark. When the night has come. When the night has come and the land is dark.
Yeah.
And the moon is the only light.
What?
And the moon is the only light.
What?
And the moon is the only light.
I was listening to Two Tribes Go to War, and I think that's what it's all about, isn't it? That's what it's coming down to. Doesn't seem like we have anybody on our side, does it? That's a fact. I'm going to be joined by Scott Wolsey. Mr. Taxi App himself, that's for sure. Also an active member of the LTDA branch. Mr. Lenny Everidge is waving to me. He's waving, you know. I did a great impression of him last week, I think. It was great. It gave it the emphysema sound. It was great. Been another nice day today, hasn't it? A really nice day. I want to know as well, if you want to tweet it out, who was the worst person you had in your cab? I mean, we talked about who was the best person you had in your cab, but who was the worst? I'll tell you mine was after this. And of course, coming up, with Trevor Merrill's, the General Secretary of the UCG. Kept his head down for 18 months. Well, about a year, I would say. But might have felt like 18 months, but he's back. I don't think it went away to the members, though. Scott, I left you last night. Where did you end up?
On top of a rhino.
On top of, I tell you what, got to take your opportunity, Scott. You know that beggars can't be choosers. I know that. Where was this? I left you in a very decent place. Was it the Big Easy on Maiden Lane?
Yeah, the Big Easy. We had a.
Sorry, go a bit closer to the mic.
Yeah, we had a bite to eat afterwards after a great show.
Absolutely phenomenal, though. It was, we went to see Joe Louis Sings and the Denmark Street Big Band. Absolutely blew our minds, didn't it? Joe, is it? They're both cab drivers, Joe and John Cox. He was the lead on, he was on sax. Fantastic sax player. Joe, phenomenal. I mean, if you want to see a show, like a swing show, it was the American Songbook, wasn't it? Just absolutely phenomenal. And this is what you've got in the cab trade. You've got, you know, a lot of talented people like that. Amazing, really. And it did. It was a good night, wasn't it? We went and had something to eat or something to drink as well as eat. It was, you know, vegetarians had a lot to drink. And then you end up, halfway to heaven? Was that? Well, you know, you fitted in. You fitted in, didn't you?
Yeah, well, so they tell me.
Fitted like a glove, I was told. There you go. How about that? What stuck out for you this week, Scott? Anything?
Last week I was contacted by Roche to go to Kilimanjaro. He's doing a charity walk up Kilimanjaro with six other taxi drivers, all in the aid of the taxi military vets.
Where is Kilimanjaro? Is it Nottingham? Somewhere like that.
Africa. Yeah. It's in Africa. So if they call it the top of Africa.
Yeah, he's a big lad, Rosh, isn't he? Mind you, Scott, you didn't feel like joining him? I mean, Scott, he's a big lad, healthy lad, Scott, but, you know, you didn't feel like going on this mission of a year?
You've got to leave something for others to do, haven't you?
Atkins diet for a year. Oh, I can't think of anything worse. I mean, Rosh is giving up smoking as well.
Well, I don't smoke. I can give that up.
Yeah. Kilimanjaro. I don't know. Isn't that one you see dead bodies as you go up because they didn't make it? Buses. On buses and things like that. Yeah. That's Everest. Always that Everest.
Yeah,
Ross tells me it's going to take 6 days to climb to the top and only a day to come back down. So.
On a sledge. Well, that'd be good. So that was your big... that's it, actually... There you go, and TaxiApp was asked to sponsor that as well, wasn't there? So
we're gonna try.
Got a year to save up.
I know the idea is any good calls like that should be sponsored and should be sponsored well by everyone.
It's fantastic, really, isn't it? And you didn't bring a tweet of the week, did you? This is compulsory. That I said you've got to do a funny voice, or you've got to do their voice, which can be quite funny. But no, you don't. There you go.
I'll have a quick dig through for a tweet. Have a
quick dig. But before, I mean, you know, as we change, just generally this week, it's odd, isn't it? Because there seems to be a lot going on. There seems to be, this is a trade thing, isn't it? Because you've got everything. You've got the solution and you've got a lot of cases of people, crowdfunds happening. And yet there seems to be like this, again, the trade, not a robust response to what's happening.
Apathy.
The thing is, it does underpin the trade a lot. And the thing is, a lot of it, they proportion blame somewhere else, but don't take it upon their own shoulders that actually, you know, this is what needs to be done. Everybody needs to step up. I think if it's self-evident, it's more self-evident now than ever, isn't it?
Definitely it's self-evident. I think sometimes we don't do ourselves favours. There's a lot of crowdfunding that's gone about because I feel we haven't been led properly by our trade organisations and associations and unions, you know, all of them together. We need to find one route to go along and do it properly. Don't do it piecemeal. I'm a member of the LTDA. I don't, you know, it's not something I try to hide. But, I feel the LTDA sometimes a lot of the time, should I say, are not leading, and they're not leading the way I believe most drivers would like them to take.
Well, I think that's the difference, isn't it? It's not leading. Just looking at that picture, I will talk about it, because these are people, I mean, everything that comes through our window goes somewhere. There's a lot of that, you know, and everybody around that table, it is a telling sign when you see everybody around that table and not one of them drives a cab. And you just think, well, this is, I mean, it's a case in point, isn't it? They're involved in the trade. And maybe they were, you know, I'll give them benefit of the doubt. Maybe they was called in for data. You know, they would have the biggest database of drivers, wouldn't they? So if you're going to call somebody in and you want to do a crowdfunding, you probably go, well, you know what? I'll get these people who have big databases. They all have a big database, don't they? So you could say maybe that's what they were called in for. I find it very strange that you don't see anything of them for 20 odd years, unless you have a run-in with them. That's when you see them. But then you see them when there's a kind of a whisper that they, you know, some money might be coming our way.
I mean, the Michigan thing for me is that I don't think that's where we should be going. I'm not saying that it's not something that shouldn't happen, but I don't think it's something that we should be going for first. I think we need to go for TFL and the way that they have allowed it to happen first. You know, that's my opinion. You know, you can shoot me down if you think I'm wrong, but that's where I feel we are.
Certainly, until we have terms of contract, you know, I'd think twice about it. Look, I've registered because I want the information. But I understand people without terms of contract, without terms and conditions. Now, you wouldn't expect them; they wouldn't sign into anything without terms and conditions, would they? But they're expecting drivers to. I know that people are only registering the interest, but nevertheless, they're getting data from you without terms and conditions. And I think if they ever frequently ask questions, they take those questions from terms and conditions that there is none. And so you can't expect drivers to have a robust approach to, you know, signing up to that, can you? When the terms and conditions aren't there, you expect them to be cautious, and that'd be the sensible thing.
Well, I also believe is you know, they're taking, you know, Uber to court loss of, you know, for loss of earnings and impeding on our working practices. What do we settle on? That's my biggest thing is what do we settle on? Is it just a monetary thing, and then there's clauses involved in that?
You wouldn't know.
You know, I'm more worried about the clauses involved rather than the money that I get, because I want to look after my pound note that I'm going to get in the future rather than the ones that's already gone. I'm already here. I'm viable now.
That's right.
Yeah, I might not be viable in the future if we sign up to something that's right.
Well, the thing is, you might sign up with the clause that they can continue in the manner which they have. Now, if they've got a payout for operating illegally, which that's the way they've been operating, only we wouldn't know that they were operating legally now, would we? Because they put a section on it, a clause on it, that you can't access the information via a Freedom of Information request. I mean, that's absurd, really. It's in the public interest that should be just in the public. It should just be out there. It shouldn't even be a case of, you know, filing for a Freedom of Information, should it? It should just be there for people to see. If your safety's put on the line, it should be open and transparent, should it?
Well, without a doubt, and that's just my biggest fear. That's why I personally haven't signed up just yet. I'm hoping that will be rectified by, you know, Michigan and those that are pushing it forward.
And Arbor, who's underpinning it, that's the 40%, both companies. That's a lot of money, isn't it, to be made from this? You know, a lot of money.
No, I don't care how much someone else earns.
Well, it just means you're getting 80% less.
Well, mate, you know, I might be getting 80% less, but then again... Well,
actually, Scott, you might end up owing some. I might have a look at your books and go, oh, you know what, he owes 50 quid. But, you know, I mean, that's the thing, isn't it? I think it's pretty much in the bag, but as you say... You know, the clauses and what are the impact? What is the impact of it? What will it be if you get that money? I think it won't come just as oh no, everything's okay.
And happy. That's what I'm more fearful about is the conditions that will be attributed to it, and I think they will be attributed to it, and that's what we've got to make sure all of our representatives and lawyers, you know, it's got to be for our benefit, whatever happens.
It has, and the biggest thing I think as well is the Law Commission, and I think the task and finish group. I think that'll complement it. Now, if you think about it, a couple of years ago we was on the bones of our, you know, not that anything has changed policy-wise, but fluctuations of work has shown we might be getting some of that trade back. You know, some of that trade that gone off. It would take a little while. We know they'd have a fallout, probably much bigger fallout than they have with us. And thought, you know what, I'd rather edge my bets with them. You know what I mean? Anybody who's been stringently, you know, gone through a stringent licensing process for 3 years, you know, and vetted for 3 years, then is going to be a better bet, aren't they? That was always going to take a while. And even getting court cases going was always going to take a while, wasn't it? So that, I think even though we would push for something right away, maybe it needs to be done again, because I think the findings would be very different now. And I think it would be much more favourable, because it looked like, you know, people are coming, we're doing better and people want to use us, as opposed to back then when they stood on the street corner with stopwatches in January, you know, watching how many people was taking cabs. There you go, 2%. It was January, you know. Not engineered at all, that one, was it?
Well, I mean, you know about statistics. You can manipulate them to however you want them.
Yeah.
It's if someone wants something, they want to show something, they can show it, and you've already proved that when...
Damn statistics and lies we're talking about, isn't it? I'll tell you what.
You proved that with Bank Junction when they come up with their statistics, and then you looked a little bit closer and you turned it upon
them. I think the LTDA's report was good, but there was two groups that they dismissed as far as impact data on cabs going through Bank Junction. I think there was two they dismissed, and I think it was the LTDA and another one that might have had a vested interest in. I think their results were diametrically apart. I think, you know, that was that. No cabs go through, a lot of cabs going through, and I think that's because. So they dismissed them, and I think just went with their own, which I think, oh, yes, that's cut down the middle, isn't it, that? We'll go with that one. I just think it's there's... But we feel a lot of this is happening. Roads closed off, and I think what is. I started the show with who would want to undertake the knowledge, right? If you have got pending 4 years of hard study, I mean, I don't know anything else where you're out every day. I mean, a university is only 18 hours a week. You know, life study. You do that every day. For you know, we've been down to Wizan. They all talk about the apps. They all talk about what taxi apps there are because. Kids coming out now, and they do seem younger. They're coming out. They've got phones. They're not seeing the street hell. They're almost forgetting that it's happening. Mark Turner had a woman come up to him and said, "How do I book one of you?" Oh, come on. So it's been minimised the street hell. Everybody's thinking about the apps. And if your only option then is to look at Get and look at Uber and go, oh, you know, there's no difference, what would make you undertake 4 years when you can get a licence to go, buy a licence to go and work for Uber after 6 weeks? You know, so what's going to happen about that? And I think when you see no difference with the apps, and then you buy a highly inflated taxi, whatever it is, gorgeous taxi, you know, highly inflated, and you're being restricted from certain roads if you don't have one, and that's what's tempting you to come in. That's the thing. That's your incentive. It's not an incentive, is it?
Well, you're being desensitised.
You are, and then you've got to fund it. You've got to pay £700 the minute you start, just to set you up. And then you can be put back. Now, I'm not talking about the process, but I'm talking about the cost of it. If the cost of living is harder now, then a lot more people will be part-time, I'm sure, and that's why they're taking 5, 6, 7 years. Come on. I mean, there is no encouragement. You're being put off, and you can't have job seekers allowance anymore. So if you get to 28, no, you're not allowed. Previously, you could stop that. But that's stopped without telling anybody. So there is, if we don't think there's a political will to end this business, there is, because that would have been stopped. And so, don't tell anybody, just make it harder for them all the time. Make it harder for them. So I just say, I don't think there's an answer to it. I'm asking you to answer the impossible, aren't I? So I will be bringing Trevor in, and you know, we can have an opinion on that. But it is our first, isn't it? It is what differentiates us from the others, and it's what we were saying my taxi should have verified that night when your renewal was due and they wasn't verifying it. You know, this is absolutely, if they don't verify your license, they're effectively saying your license isn't important. You're the same. We don't care. Now, if your license isn't important, we're all Uber drivers, aren't we?
Well, I think what's happened is during the process of the last 10 years, all of our mutual radio circuits have either come into financial trouble and had to sell, and they've all gone into corporate hands. And we're now at the point now where the only cooperative mutual radio or app site is Taxi App. All the others are run by corporates. So they have not got our interests at heart, unfortunately. You may think they have. They've only got our interests at heart while we're earning them money or gaining them data, whichever they feel is the richer commodity. Yeah. Whereas when we had... When all of our circuits were owned by drivers, could you imagine, I don't know, radio taxis at the time saying, well, we're going to put minicabs on, you know, alongside taxis on the same circuit, you know, we offering them up. The drivers would just not have had it. Now, I know they did run one transport then on a minor basis, it wasn't at the forefront.
But even now, I think, what was the difference? Because people do say to me, well, what was the difference with the radio circuits? Oh, maybe there wasn't that much of a difference, and I wasn't on one because of that. But I understand why people was. But the difference was, there was regulation, wasn't there?
Oh,
and that's what there isn't now.
There's regulation. I mean, there was a complaints procedure that, you know, if you was disciplined on it, you were disciplined by fellow taxi drivers. You wasn't disciplined by some faceless person that can just sort of, well, I'm going to deactivate you today, and that's it.
Done. For no reason.
You know, you become a member of these radio circuits. You wasn't sort of just dished out work willy-nilly.
And like I said, if regulatory framework isn't formatted now with driver's input. It will be at some point, no doubt about it, and it will be done without our input. So, better we're involved than not being involved. Hang on, I think. Well, this, did you hear this one last night, Scott? Trevor Mills, the General Secretary of the UCG. How are you, Trevor? Are we on, you've got your mic, but we're sharing mics. This is we're economising here, London Taxi Radio.
Good evening, Sean, and thank you for inviting us on here tonight. I just want to correct you on a couple of things. We've not been really away.
Well, there you go. You've just been right.
But, you know, we're here to answer any questions, and it was quite interesting to hear yourself and Scott talk, because, you know, As taxi drivers, we've got to face up to some facts, and that fact is that the KRL, the Knowledge of London, and Plying for Hire are intrinsically linked. Now, we believe that most wholeheartedly in the UCG, and that's what I'm here to talk to tonight, because we have launched a legal challenge. We are going to seek to do a judicial review on the Westminster decision, because this trade demands and deserves justice. We then go on, because the star of the show is TFL.
No doubt about it.
And special guest appearance by their mates Uber. So as far as we're concerned, I'm just a boy off a council estate from Randia. So TFL and bring your mates.
Where's she from Randia? Where's Randia?
Just out of the Weather Street and that.
Oh, okay, that's all right.
So bring your mates. That's basically it. So, you know, I'll answer anything you want to ask me tonight. Now, the UCG, We were very worried that if we didn't get the decision we wanted on June the 25th, what was the trade going to do? And that's why we had a plan B. But it is what we're trying to do is the magnitude of
the decision on June the 25th about what?
Uber's relicensing.
Right, okay. Oh, yeah, was that June the 25th? Was it? Where are we now? I can't remember.
We're in September. So we had to have the trade needed a backup.
All right, so that's where you are, Trevor. Now, when I said you went away, sometimes I think the message doesn't get out there, does it?
No,
sometimes the message is there, it's not getting out.
We took a decision when we was invited alongside the RMT into the so-called engagement policy. We took a decision that
Put a date on that as well, Trev, if you can.
Oh, that would be January of last year,
Right.
And we took a conscious decision that we would have a look. We, you know, the drivers tell you they don't want the orgs and the unions arguing with one another all the time. It doesn't look professional. So we've done what we believe was right for the trade. Not the popular decision, but what we believe is right. So we went and had a look, and, you know, now, first things that both the RMT and the UCG said at the first ever meeting is we want these meetings minuted. Now, September 2018, it seems that that seems to be the consensus of opinion for all the orgs, which is wonderful. So it's absolutely wonderful. But, you know, I've been along to these meetings, and sometimes you wonder whether we are failing to engage or engaging to fail.
Right, okay, you answer that. Nail that one, and what's your impression when you come out of those meetings?
Well, TFL are just paying lip service, yeah.
Right, okay.
Because, you know, we signed up to an agreement many years ago, consultation, not negotiation.
Yeah.
Now, we have seen major changes in our working life, practice, and in our working life. Now, the Uber app, or any of the private hire apps, because they're all doing it, they're identical to taxi apps. So how can you have a two-tier system when we're both working the same way? We have said to TFL on a number of occasions, we believe these apps applying for hire via an app. TFL turn and say, well, we don't, and you take it to court. But as a regulator, they should have took it to court. TFL are aware of this. The Mott McDonald report turned around and told TFL that if you take the display of the vehicles off the screen, it will have a major impact on their business. If you leave it on, the impact it will have on the taxi trade is immeasurable, and this is liable to be settled in court. Well, I think TFL, for so long, as a regulator, they've played on the fact that we're a fractured industry. You know, we're too busy arguing with one another.
Yeah.
And our enemies are making hay of it. You know, they're just cleaning up.
That's right. When they say about, like, okay, you've got TFL there, what is the way forward with those meetings if you kind of, if some say they're going to go along with engagement policy and others aren't, would you take part in them? I mean, how important do you see these meetings, having joined those meetings last year and signed that agreement?
I think that, as I've said just a minute ago, I think we're sitting around there, we're becoming complicit, and the UCG will never ever be complicit, because we put the trade first, second, and always.
I mean, you could say a bit like, well, it's appeased, isn't it? You get appeased. If you're offered something, which is what has happened with the engagement policy, I think, you've been offered something, got it, and then they don't give you anything, but they got a good gauge on where the cab trade was at, didn't they? I think they got a good gauge of whether, you know, how we would work together, or, you know, what we could and couldn't do.
Well, they've relied so long on the fact, you know, the TFL, I believe, they've thought that the trade would never unify and actually do anything to take them to court. Well, we're open to, we're open to do something there to prove them wrong on that, because, you know, people will say to us, how much is it going to cost? That's not the question. Yeah. You know, the question should be, can you afford to do this? It should be, can you afford not to do this?
That's right.
Because the way we are going, we have got the two-tier system is not viable. If I'm working exactly the same way as a private hire driver, the two-tier system is not viable.
Yeah.
And TFL will argue that, oh, it was never our intention, well, to do this, and market forces. Well, we contest that, and because this action is not UCG, it's about the entire trade. That's why we set up this group alongside prominent stakeholders, / suppliers, and we have set up this as a united trade action group.
We'll come on to that, because I think we've always said it's TFL. I mean, Uber are symptomatic of a cause, really, aren't they? We know that, and they wouldn't be here if TFL hadn't licensed them. So we're
about the TFL.
You did go for a parliamentary inquiry, which meant forming some kind of relationship with the LTDA, and I guess your core supporters. I guess I could see you smiling now, but it's a good thing to clear up, because I think your core support was in response to the LTDA, wasn't it? They would come to the UCG because of what the LTDA was or wasn't doing. And it seemed like, well, actually, what's happened there, when it looked like there was some kind of alliance. So, it's all, you know, if get some clarity on that. We have expecting men to multitask in the expecting men to multitask is impossible, isn't it? When you get to read something and you've got to talk. Sorry, Trevor was expected to read something, but he's expected to talk. But I think some kind of alliance. I don't know what, you know, how strong that alliance was, whether it was an isolated alliance or whether it was ongoing. So if you want to clear some of that up for the drivers,
right? The UCG called many demonstrations, and we got, you know. At the end, we did the last one at Parliament, and we handed the letter in. We had over 10,000 taxis on that demonstration. We were given some assurances that politicians were beginning to take note of it, and there was going to be an all-action, all-party group, and things would progress from there. We then took a decision that we got to do something about Uber's relicensing. So we done a little bit of crowdfunding within the trade, and we got some money off the trade, and we done what you call a forensic on Uber. We got a guy who's worked for the FBI.
What was it on the app?
When you start getting these sort of people in, it was too big and too expensive for the UCG. So what do you do? Because at the time, naively, we believed that we live in a country that's full of justice, and if the booking ain't taking place in London, and it's then we can prove that they shouldn't be licensed.
Yeah.
So we've now got to. So I went over. And I spoke to Steve McNamara from the LTDA, and they went half each. And it's no coincidence when TfL decided were mindful not to renew their licence, they quoted, because it was all encrypted.
Yeah, yeah.
Right, okay. So there was no relation, there was no embed with the LTDA.
Right, okay.
Right? But see, we could have gone on Twitter, we could have just certain, we could have accused every other organisation and union of being X, Y, and Z, not us, Gov. We wanted to do something that was in the best interest of the trade, and we thought the trade is too fractious, let's all work together. And, you know, and it wasn't the popular decision, but it was the right decision, and I would do it again and again, you know, because it's the right, you've got to put the trade first.
Yeah.
Now, it's now, and that's why we come on to what we've done now, which is our legal, we've got the opinion. We've got a really good, barrister, QC.
You did say the QC. I have heard of him.
Yeah, okay. He's no lightweight.
Right.
And then we've got a licensing barrister and a solicitor. Now, this is all... This the opinion, he believes we've got a really strong case. I know we've got a strong case. He says if we don't do something now, we acquiesce forever.
That's right, yeah.
You know, it is really make your mind up time, because if the trade cannot do this, or doesn't want to do it, hasn't got the appetite for it, then we are, then, you know, that, I think we will have to accept that, but then the trade has got no long-term future.
Yeah.
And that, it's as simple as that. It's make your mind up time. It is all the issues that are appertaining and important to us as an industry. And what we done, we went and spoke to some suppliers or stakeholders, whatever terminology you want to call. They understood it. They got it. Because the fact of the matter is, if we go down, they're coming with us.
Yeah, well... That's
as simple as that.
I think it was a bit late in the day for them as well to start understanding that is the case.
We took a decision, the UCG, that we're going to have to talk. And that's why we set up, you know, alongside these stakeholders, the United Trade Action Group. Now, the taxi trade can do this. If the appetite is there, we can do it.
I mean, it does have a history of not being able to, I think. The minute you put yourself on the line with that, with crowdfunding, suddenly you're demonised, aren't you? And I think...
TfL are relying on the fact that we won't be able to raise the money, and the trade will carry on being fractious and accuse this one and that one and all the rest of it. Well, we've done some simple maths, and the simple maths is if 7,000 of us cared enough, out of 24,500, if 7,000 of us put in £40 a month for 6 months, we've got it
and
we'll see them in court.
Right.
And we believe that we've got a really good case. The trade, and if the trade don't do it there, we're finished.
Yeah. And so I mean, what is TfL going after? And it is a licensing issue that they agreed.
Well, it was TfL. There's also I mean, their statement says, and I don't want to go too much into detail because it's obviously legal opinion, but it's also torts, you know, and that's not my expertise, and far from it, you know. But for the average cab driver, when you've done the knowledge, what did you do the knowledge for? On your licence, have a look at your licence. It says, licence to ply for hire all London.
That's right, yeah.
Right, so what do your knowledge for? And we keep waiting for this fairy godmother to come and save us. Well, sometimes, and this trade does a hell of a lot, you know, charitable work. You mentioned Ross and the Kilimanjaro. I mean, today I saw Ross and UCG have pledged him £500 and the group. But we do some fantastic things. But for once, let's do something for ourselves.
Yeah.
Just put ourselves, just once, we do this, we shock the world. We really do shock the world. And it will, the ramifications, because I'm not going to talk about other actions that are possibly taken, because I'm not going to criticise them, and I'm not, because that seems like I'm not playing my one off against their one, because it's not my one. This one is about protecting what we do for a living and protecting our future.
I mean, just an interesting comment, because Chris Johnson has got one, and he is doing one against My Taxi, just an employment case against him. And I know that isn't the case you was going to go down. That isn't the line you was intended to go down.
No, you're not
degrading that case.
No, that's not
the line you're going down.
Good luck to him. We believe the bigger issue, we think that's a secondary issue, we believe the bigger issue is, what is an EL? What is a pre-booking?
Yeah.
Is it prime fryer? And we believe that we strongly contest that it is, because human apps are replicating human behaviour. The taxi trader's got to wake up to the fact that there's an 110,000 ghost taxi fleet out there working off an app.
Absolutely right.
So what do we do? When do we actually turn and say, you know what? We're going to stand up as men and women. We're going to stand up for ourselves for once. And I'm saying, and the UCG and the stakeholders, the United Trade Action Group, we're saying that everybody, this is everybody's fight, every single one of us, we should all contribute. And that includes members of other organisations, that includes organisations and unions.
Yeah.
It really does, because it's now time for, if you care, you're put in. If you don't, then the trade knows where we're going.
That's right. And a failure, I think, is worse than, kind of not going in at all. I think it makes it look as if the trade can't do anything. So there is a potential risk in going into that, isn't there?
But they've always played on that, haven't they? You take it to court. Knowing full, but the regulator should be taking it to court. But it's demonstrated it has got no appetite to do that.
Yeah.
And then they say the flip. TFL have said to me, we know your views. We know the UCG's views. If you don't like it, take us to court. Well, I don't like it, and we are.
No, well, good. So, ultimately, it'll be down to drivers' impetus, won't it?
Drivers, obviously, a lot more stakeholders. This is the trade.
Yeah.
This is the day, and it is the issues. It seriously is the issues, because it's everything that we do for a living.
Prior to that, you did put it to your members about a demonstration.
Yeah.
What was the demonstration about, and what was the impetus, and are you going to go with that as well?
Well, the demonstration, we balloted our membership because after the disclosure of the magistrate, the chief magistrate, and she had to recuse herself from Brighton, but she'd already heard the case in London.
That's right.
We believe that, once again, we've discovered as a trade, and we have, haven't we? For many years we thought we were better than all this. We've discovered that British justice is the best that money can buy. So we said that we'd ballot our membership to return to action. And it was an overwhelming vote to return to industrial action. But also in the background, we was also meeting and trying to get this off the ground. So last week at the senior reps meeting, we will support 100% any action that's called, but we're not putting it in our name. Because the reason is, not because we've got so many Section 12s and Section 11s and Section 15s, it's the fact, the reason is now that we want to get it, we want to do it professionally in the court, let a judge decide what's happening to our trade. And we've got a really good case, and I can't keep saying, when you get senior QCs telling you've got a good case, I want this case.
Doesn't get any better than that, really, does it? I'm going to be back with Trevor Merrill after this.
Yeah.
here at GSS, sponsored by City Diesel only. They are so popular, they're out of diesel. I might put a bit of red in. No, I'm only kidding. Don't want any customers of excise come around here. At Blind, it's best price in London, but not tonight. But otherwise, best price in town. I'm still got Trevor here. He's joined me for a chat. Scott Worsley is hanging about. Is any averages in the background? Not usually in the background, is he? He's got to get down whopping a bit more often. That's what I say. So we're live here at GSS. Come on down. Now, if you're going to be listening to this on a podcast, so thank you very much. Very good of you. Without you, we are nothing. If you're not listening on the podcast, you can get hold of me at londontaxiradio.co.uk. That's the website. You can go to Facebook, London Taxi Radio. You can DM me at Sean Paul Dave, my individual account, or London Taxi Radio, at London Taxi Radio. Any one of those, get involved. We're still waiting to hear tweets about who was the worst person you had in your cab. Come on. You had a nightmare. I'll tell you who mine was. It was... it's very difficult to say because you imagine him being your grandfather. We're all of an age, you know, aren't we, Lenny, Scott, you. And you think of him as your uncle or your grandfather. He did Jack and Ori. He did the Railway Children. Oh, Bernard Cribbins. Absolutely. I mean, he's not, speaking of the dead, he's not with us anymore, but absolutely vile. Is he still alive? Well, he may as well. Absolutely vile. You couldn't.
Not after tonight.
Oh, I tell you what, I took him to the Ritz, and when he'd gone in, he went, I expect I've got to carry my own cases. Not quite as pleasant as that. And he kept looking at me in the window going, oh, taxi drivers are. Oh, God, you know, I'd have to inform iTunes if I used the word he used. But yeah, that was him. Bernard Cribbins. Always, always drunk. Lenny said, is he drunk in the background? Yes, always drunk. Always. Absolutely vile all the way there. You know, Bernard Cribbins, though, you couldn't believe it. Jack and Ori. He used to tell that story about Winnie the Pooh. Oh, no, that was William Rushton, wasn't he? I knew it was one of them off Celebrity Squares. Oh, that's it, yes. I tell you, Lenny's charades is just brilliant. I think you got Arthur Mollard, Bernard Cribbins and William Rushton doing Celebrity Squares. There's a line-up, if there ever was one. You're of an age, come on. Anyway, I've got Trevor Merrill's back with me. And in 18 months, there's a lot happened, hasn't there? We've ended up, when was the age limit? But I mean, looking at, would they bring it down to 10 years? Completely flatlined the resale price of it? We've gone electric, haven't we, all this time?
We've gone electric, but equally...
How did we get there?
Well, I think we just stumbled our way and found out our world crumbling, because it gets back to what we do for a living and our working practices. Now, all of a sudden, if we're doing the secular working exactly the same as private hire, but we've got a £65,000 vehicle, the two-tier system is not viable.
Yeah.
It's just not viable. Mm-hmm. And, you know, this is not doom. And, you know, this is waking up to reality. Now, we've tried everything. The UCG have been, and myself, have been absolutely castigated because we took the stance we took. You know, the people say, oh, they're in their pocket. We're in no one's pocket. Mm. We don't sell out. We've never sold our manhood for anybody.
Yeah.
Right? We've done what we believe. Because the trade keep telling us they don't want the orgs to argue. Well, we're now saying, I agree. We agree. That's why we've all got to get behind this United Trade Action.
Yeah.
Every single one of us, because it's about our working practice, about our future. And if we can't do that, then we might as well just have a strong look in the mirror. You know, people have, you know, I've looked at Twitter, because obviously when we launched, and I've seen some of the comments, you know, is it the LTA, is it a front for the LTA? No, it's not.
Right.
Are the LTA involved in it? No. Have they been involved in it? No. Has the LCDC been involved in it? No. It's solely the UCG and the stakeholders we spoke to, but now it's bigger. It's too big. It's not about a recruitment for the UCG. This is about every, you know, to paraphrase John Kennedy, you know, don't ask what you all can do for you. What can you do for the trade? This is about the trade. So forget all the colours of your lanyards. If you care, you put in.
Right.
If you don't care, then what we're doing is, on our watch, we're selling our history.
Mm-hmm.
Because 360-odd years of our working practices and what we do, and we're going to say we're the last generation. Well, the knowledge has always been an opportunity for working-class boys and girls to get themselves and pick themselves up. It was aspirational. And we're saying to the future generations that face things like zero-hour contracts, that we're taking away the last... And that's why the people don't like us. You know, everyone knows about the, so you know, the price of a taxi, but they don't value nothing. Now look, we don't set our fares. We're regulated. We can always be undercut. But the reality is that private hire, and in 1998 they went to great lengths in Parliament and in the laws to turn around and say that the 1998 Private Hire Act, that private hire should not apply for hire. That is the sole domain of the taxis. Then, when people in our trade have said about increasing the standards of topographical standards of private hire drivers, the private hire industry turned and said, and I quote verbatim, well, we don't need to do that because as a pre-booked, the driver's got time to set the route and you know exactly how much you're going to pay at the end, whether it takes you 15 minutes or 15 hours. Well, now they're working off an app. It's instant.
Yeah.
They're in the immediate hire industry.
That's
and
right.
That is our domain. And if we can't fight for that, then we've got to have a strong look at ourselves. And as I say, this is not about, oh, it's a UCG. It's not about, this is all of us.
Yeah.
This is, forget the whatever organisation you're in, do what's right for by the trade.
That's right. It'd be odd that you, it was confused that you might have been a frontman for the LTDA because they never went after Uber. Their TfL, their thing was Uber, if they went after anybody, evidential with the Mish Condorea case. And you was always TfL, wasn't you? Every demonstration I went to, it was always focused on TfL.
Everyone uses our slogan there, but that's a UCG slogan, isn't it? You know, totally fame in London.
Yeah,
it's UCG. Yeah. Everyone uses it now, is it because it's such catchy? We TfL are the main culprits.
They are.
They inherited us.
Yeah.
And so, you know, we've been voted the finest taxis in the world for a 6-year. You know, and TfL take all that pulled it. They've done absolutely nothing. What have TfL done to promote our trade?
Nothing.
What have TfL done to protect our trade? Absolutely nothing.
Well, this strange active passivity, an effort to be passive, not promoting it, not pushing the name out there. Gone are the days when we used to be when your dad used to say, make sure you get a black cab home, the safest. Now, we're not considered the safest, they are. And that is because TfL hasn't really championed the black cab trade.
Of course they haven't. And when they license to the general public, because you've allowed, you know, through apps and that, people see these randals on cars and they think, well, they're the same as us.
Yeah.
So the public don't, and of course the public will always want cheap.
Yeah,
right? But the role of the regulator is to protect the public from themselves.
That's right.
And you know, the reason, and you know, people will throw at you. TfL will say, "Oh, but we're pushing for a statutory definition and applying for hire." Well, I tell you what is law is that only taxis can apply for hire, only Hackney carriers can apply for hire. And I tell you, there ain't no statute. I accept the fact there's no statutory definition, but we got loads of case law on our side, and there's no statutory definition of an elephant, but we'll all know one if it walked in here now, wouldn't we?
Yeah, we would. Yeah, no, you're absolutely
what it is.
I mean, I think the abstract of rules gives a good definition of private hire, to be quite honest.
Yeah, we've got a strong case.
And isn't it working practice? We've got, I mean, I'm not saying, I mean, if we've got a definition tomorrow, that'd be fantastic. If that clears, get some clarity, then great. But working practice, all these years, we've had a way of working, and suddenly that's been eroded, and they can't say, well, actually, there's no definition, because the definition is, how many hundreds of years have we worked in the same way? And correlatively, we're still part of public transport that Ken Livingstone said we was back in his day. And what has changed? Your job hasn't changed. If their opinion has changed of us, then that's not mine. I still do the same job. They are the ones who are saying right now, we've changed our minds and we're using somebody else. Well, unless they change the law, couldn't do it, could they?
But private hire should not be in the immediate hire industry.
And no, they should be. And it doesn't matter if it was teleportation. It doesn't matter if it was that good. They shouldn't be there.
That's not the role of private hire. So, and, you know, it's supposed to be pre-booked. And, you know, they've allowed TfL, for whatever reason, the wishy-washy, a grey area, was sort of, you know, because no one's ever pushed them. But now we carry on as a trade, keep fighting on certain, what I consider second, with the UCG South secondary issues. We're running out of time on this.
Yeah.
And we've had a good summer because of the Arabs this year, and I'm not disputing that. But that's just cracking over the, you know, that's just papering over the cracks.
That's just fluctuations of
exactly.
Work,
and as more and more of these get more and more licensed, and the public get used to it and don't know no different, we cannot survive. And people would say to you, but why, you know, in the past, people would always say, oh, but what happens if we lose? Well, so what if we lose? Because it's happening to us right this second. There'll be no change in our, but the only change will be that the two-tier system is not viable and TfL are going to have to talk about our redundancies. Because when we done the knowledge, we entered a covenant.
That's right.
The covenant was we would do the knowledge and for that we would have to drive a purpose-built vehicle and we would have to, but we'd be able to pick up people by applying fire. That was the covenant. That
That's
was
right.
The Holy Trinity. all of a sudden, because of technology, oh, well, that's a bit of a grey area. No, it's not a grey area. You chose not to be strong. You chose not to make a decision. And this trade, for whatever reason, we've gone down every... You know, we have done everything but the elephant in the room. You know, you've been guilty of it. You know, we feel like we're going into a fight with one arm tied behind their back. And we're having 15 rounds. And this is the embarrassment as a trade. We don't even have minutes of meeting. So not only that, you're just hoping the referee has bloody scored it. And then you look at him and go, you know, we're not getting no result at all.
No, that's right. It's like the meeting.
And we're not going to be complicit.
Yeah.
Now, if the trade cannot back this, if orgs cannot support this, and unions, and urge their members to support it, and donate themselves, then we've got to all have a look at ourselves. Because it's easy to keep turning, you know, as a trade, we say, oh, it's all that... We're after trade and not in anything.
Well,
and maybe
right.
that is the failing of us in the orgs.
Yes.
Because, well, you know, the Transport and General Workers Union, which is now Unite, people weren't happy in the London taxi industry with them, so the LTDA was formed. Then there's other people who weren't happy with the LTDA, the LCDC was formed. Right? Then, obviously, people weren't happy with all three of the above, and then the RNT got a branch, and then there wasn't happy with that, and then the UCG. If we was all happy, but that's the trouble. There's 24,500 of us. We've nearly got as many orgs as we got drivers, right? So how can we? And we haven't got a clue how to ever to be united and have a fight.
Well, the thing is, if you saw it as this is the case, if everybody just saw it as being illegal, then all of the other issues wouldn't have mattered. So you don't need a cap on them. If they're illegal, they shouldn't be here. It's as simple as that. So once you start legitimising by saying we all can contain them in this way, that's, you've given up the argument, haven't
exactly.
you? They're illegal, and actually,
and we plan, because obviously this is as I keep emphasising, this is not UCG. That's why we're part of this United Trade Action Group, UTAG, and we'll have a Twitter account on that. And later on this week, there will be a page, a bank details where you can donate. We believe strongly that. We've got to do it now, because we put it off and put it off and put it off, and we haven't got no future. Because how can we compete with people who are doing the same job as us, but I have to pay £65,000 for an electric vehicle that I can't afford, and someone can buy a Dacia for £7,500?
It's not right. Even things that we don't even take much notice of, we'll talk about that much, when we've got to comply with the ULEZ vehicle in 2018 or 2020 got to be rolled out, and then you have private hire 2023 when they have an option of a vehicle.
Look, you know, some people might think, you know, they have an opinion of me and the UCG, and it might not be the most positive. I'm sorry about that, but don't let that be the reason why you don't support this. Because make no mistake, you might think X, Y, Z of me, but if I'm going down and you're a taxi driver, you're coming down with me.
Oh yeah, yeah, that's
right. You know, it's as simple as. And, you know, the UCG, we're not looking to say, you know, cast aspersions on any other organisation. We're saying this trade has got to learn. And this trade has never... And that's how TfL rode roughshod over us, you know. We have played by sort of Marquess of Queensbury rules where our enemies have come tooled up. And that is a fact, you know. And we're so busy worrying about, let's blame them over there because they done that in 1986, and then they retort, no, but you done this in 1994. We're having all these arguments on Twitter with one another, and meanwhile, our market share is getting smaller and smaller and smaller. Well, I'm no intellectual. I'm just, a boy off a council estate. Let's win this war, and then we can, let's beat our real enemies, and then if we want, and we'll spend the next 6 years on Twitter calling every name under the sun, we'll do that. But let's win the battle first. Let's unite for once. Let's not be to taxi trade disunited, let's be the taxi trade united, right? Stand under one common cause, our right to ply for hire, our historical trade, let it not go to, you know, on our watch. Let's fight. We put all this effort to get this badge, every single one of us, put all that effort to do the knowledge, so don't sell the badge so cheaply. Put the same effort, you put after some effort in to save the badge and save the trade, we can't lose.
There you go, it doesn't get any better than that, folks.
Falling on my head like a man.
just a small town boy. Really, every Joe's all about that. Do you know, I did a photo shoot with him when I was young. Jimmy said, actually, I don't think I did. I think I did. Or something like that, anyway. I was him and Mark Almond, anyway. Yeah. Tell you what, powerful stuff there from Trevor Merrill's General Secretary of the UCG. Now, 18 months, you know, he took his counsel. I mean, you know, whatever they say, the political route wasn't for him, and he was there was a smear campaign against him. It's no good going over that. So if drivers thought I was going to go over that, there's no point in going over that. We are at where we are at, and we need to know where we go forward from here. Yeah. So personalities sometimes do get in the way, and sometimes personalities are an excuse. So if TfL is the one you want to go after, this is it, I think. This is it. Now, we can look at the trade and we can think, oh, you know, it's a tough call, and it is. But it ain't going to be down to them if it doesn't work. It's going to be down to drivers, isn't it? It's going to be down to us. It's going to be down to everybody who's in the trade and the whole mob that don't drive cabs that I talked about earlier. It'll be down to them as well. They'll probably bow out at the earliest opportunity because they're giving one and not taking it. That's why they were at the Mishcondaway conference, I could say. But strong stuff from Trevor and a case that they seem is viable, ready to run with.
Yeah. We'll have to talk. It's allowing us to buy a ticket to look after our trade. At the moment, no one's offering that ticket, and this is the first real action against TfL that has come forward, and I think we should grab it with both hands.
We've been action all over the place, but it's not actually been against TfL for one reason or another. For those of us who said TfL is you know, absolutely the nucleus of all this, and it doesn't matter, right? They were doing the government's bidding. They shouldn't be doing government's bidding. They should be enforcing the law, because they're arbitrators of the law. So to do the corrupt government's bidding, shouldn't be doing it. And it doesn't even matter that Uber hoodwinked them. Doesn't matter if they were hoodwinked. Doesn't matter if they wasn't clever enough, or doesn't matter if they didn't put the investigatory work into working out how the process went. Doesn't matter. They shouldn't be there if they didn't work it out. They are still responsible if they license them. That is it. Full stop. TfL is the bottom line. TfL, the government, and Uber are all symptomatic of each other. They're one of the other, so it doesn't really matter. TfL are arbitrators of the law. They failed in their remit. Those are the people you should be taking into court. You're all right, Lenny. You stood there. Now, you came down especially tonight, didn't you?
Yeah, I got a lot of time for Trevor and Len Martin back in the day. I think they're all very passionate. They're no mugs. And finally, someone is coming up with a lawsuit that we all agree with and we all want. Yeah. And we haven't got the voice to say it. And they've come up and said it. And they've timed it perfectly. They haven't jumped the gun. They've waited for all the judicial proceedings to go through. TfL are always going to be the ones we must go up against, because Uber will just turn around and go, well, what have we done wrong? Well, you're illegal. Well, TfL didn't tell us to change. We could have tinkered with it.
Yeah.
TfL licences, go and see them.
That's right. Absolutely. And I think, I mean, then you've got the things about, and I think it's okay, because Chris Johnson's case, I also think, is bang on, because it deals with the employment case. It is absolutely targeting the apps and the getting parameters on that to protect our working practices. And Trevor is right. It's no good going down the apps argument with him, because he says, I'm not dealing with the apps. There are people who come in, siphoning off the back of the trade like they always have. They're all coming into the trade, so you say there is impact there from them. But he's saying, I'm dealing with the trade, what we do as a job. Yeah. The trade, the apps are something that's coming into our trade. I'm dealing with profit. And you could say the apps are encroaching on that as well, but that's not what he's going in for. So I don't think there's a conflict there, because I think Chris Johnson's is a valid case to go into as well.
It's an excellent case. We've got to safeguard ourselves against apps. Otherwise, we'll just become glorified Uber drivers ourselves. We'll become part of the gig economy. What Trevor done tonight actually brought the hairs on my arms, and I've got a lot of hairs on my arms.
Right.
Come up, stand up. I thought it was brilliant. This is cometh the hour, cometh the man. This is what I've been waiting for on a personal basis. And I know people that I'm involved with have been waiting for this. And if they're listening now, or they're going to listen to the podcast, they'll all be standing up cheering and clapping.
Yeah.
So I didn't want to interrupt him with the clapping, but I felt like clapping a few times.
Well, that's good, because you know, it, you know, you think, oh, it could. Trevor always comes on, always gives a good account of himself, because he's there, and you, there's passionate. No denying passion. He's in abundance, and you can see it. You're thinking, hang on a second, I'm on your side. He's going to knock me out. I mean, that is it. The passion is there. There's a lot of diplomats in our business, isn't there? And they were calling the shots from this very diplomatic, very kind of the peripheral. You know, and the way I was talking about it earlier, a lot of people, influential people, they're not in the trade, really. They've all taken out of the trade, but they're not in the trade. They're not affected day by day. And so it's very difficult to get the garages on board, because they're still charging the same price. They haven't been disrupted. They're still charging the same cost as it is when you have with something changed on your cab. It's no small change. It's just you who are having to work longer and longer and longer in order to pay. Now, like you said, Lenny, if you call a demonstration, you have to wait till the fluctuations in work have dipped again. Because if it has been quite good. We've had a good Arab turnout this summer, haven't we? If it's good work, people think it's all coming back to us. It's all coming, we're winning, it's all coming back to us. If you get given a little 12 feet of bus lane in front of UCL, then you go, oh, yes, we're winning, look, we're winning. And, you know, nothing has changed, no policy has been put in place, no shift of emphasis, it's still exactly the same, isn't it?
There's a lot being taken away from it. We're very fortunate at the timing when Ramadan came along and they all come back, was over the school holidays. I think it's 20 days, 21 days, it changes every year.
So
wait till next August, then they'll be screaming, we're going to demo. You don't demo for anger, you demo for a reason.
Yeah.
And the reason is to get people like Trevor up to the table, feet under the table to negotiate.
Yeah,
we've got too many that are in charge who are just cosy. It's like they turn up for a cup of tea. Mike Brown says, "Look, this is what you're going to have to go and tell your drivers." They're just messengers.
Well, the whole point of the engagement policy is because you could say, Trevor, who's got the passion, Trevor, who's really got the drive, got the focus for TFL, and that's where his focus is. Well, they don't want you. They want you to buy into a behavioural clause. Yeah. Buy into this behavioural clause, and then that's okay, because we'll give you nothing, keep you wanting, we'll get a good gauge on whether you can do something or not, you know, and everything's hunky-dory. They've got everything they want. Trade gets nothing, because we'll keep out the passion of people, because, oh, no, we can't possibly have that. Do you know what I mean?
I can understand orgs and unions signing it to make sure that they get there, that they're in that room.
I understand.
Just tear it up.
It's a difficult one, because you think, I've got to have my feet, I've got to be at the table, otherwise they're going to leave me out. Leave you out of what? I don't think it can get any worse than what it is now.
No.
It happens. The thing is, we've been appeased, because in a way, your end game can't be being around the table. I know the dads are a great one, because they said, we're not having a meeting. We don't want a meeting. What we want is a result. We want a resolution here. Otherwise, we protest. We don't. The end game isn't to get around the table and negotiate something. This isn't a negotiation, because they're not negotiating. We want a resolution. If you don't come with an idea, if there's a line drawn, isn't a date on it, you've got to come with some kind of solution. Otherwise, we'll protest. And I think that's the thing. I think you've got to draw that line. And I think going for this, it's very late in the day, isn't it? But it's got to be gone for, hasn't it? Because otherwise, we're in big, big trouble.
Yeah, it's do or die now.
What was you going to say something, Scott? You'll have to join the microphone on it. I know it's cosy, but pretend you're Peters and Lee, you know, back in the day where you used to share the microphone.
I disagree with late in the day. I don't think it's ever late in the day. I think, you know, while we're still here, we're still breathing, we're still fighting, and we can still go forward.
Still breathing then?
Yeah. So, you know, but, you know, we're given the opportunity and we should take it. It's as simple as that. We should always take opportunities when they're given to us, and don't shy away from it.
Grab them with both hands. Grab every opportunity in life, and
this is our first opportunity to go for TFL.
That's right.
We should take it wholeheartedly. And what have we always wanted? I mean, we've always wanted TFL to take responsibility for our trade.
And the trouble is they haven't done that.
They've passed it on to courts. They're the regulators. They should have regulated. And as soon as they realised it wasn't within regulation, they should have made sure they brought them up to scratch.
Yeah.
And they've chose not to.
Wasn't another one of the UCG's slogans was, enough is enough.
That's right,
Enough is enough. It was 2 years ago.
Yeah.
So it is sort of late in the day, but it's not. Look, Rocky Marciano got knocked down, no split, the last round. Jersey Joe Walcott put his hands in the air, I'm champion of the world, until he turned around and seen him getting back up. And then he knocked him spark out. And that's what we can do.
But we ain't even made our way to the ring yet, have we? I thought that was the slogan.
Yeah.
Still got your sequin down on your way. Or was that wrestling?
Is that wrestling?
That's mud wrestling.
Yeah.
But I think here's a tale of the tape because we're coming to the end now. But I've always said breaking a long-standing trade agreement, haven't I? You have to go through a stringent licensing process, don't you? Can't get out of it. Can't be a cab driver any other way. It's only when you meet your required level are you allowed to work on the on-demand market. And even before you do, you've got to rent or purchase a purpose-built vehicle, which is based on safety and liberty. That's what it's all about. You've got to purchase that because you can't work on the on-demand market unless you purchase that vehicle and have met the required level. Even then, the tariff is based on cost indexes of meeting the viability and the running costs of that prescribed vehicle, a vehicle which you don't have a choice over. You've got to work in that vehicle. Now, if there's any faction into that, that's down to TfL, because you can't work as a taxi driver any other route or any other way than all those conditions of fitness and the required level.
They
can't
us.
Do it.
TfL owe us, and they've done nothing for us. And what they owe us now is a day in court. Get them on oath. Get there. They won't. They're not that stupid to perjure themselves.
Right.
And then we can even go past this. Once we win this, which we will win this, we can start taking out personal suits against individuals.
Yeah.
All right. Private suits against individuals. That's. I would love to see that. We're coming to get you.
Coming to get you. All those that think are sitting pretty.
What I would say, let's just go to TfL first and let's win there first. Yeah. And then get another fight.
Yeah.
Right, but let's win this fight first.
Yeah. Well, it's self-evidential that there is a political agenda against the cab trade, isn't it? You can't deny it that there's a losing infrastructure. They'll say that the knowledge has come to a natural end. It hasn't come to a natural end. It's been engineered to come to an end like that. If it comes to an end, I'm not saying it will. We do have a two-year window. What can we do? And this is on one of the first steps on the route of that. And you've got to be on the first rung of the ladder if you're going to get anywhere. And this is it. So. More details on that. I'll put that on the radio. We'll get that information out there. Again, there's Chris Johnson's case, and I'm saying that's a big deal. That's a big deal because that's intrinsically linked to applying for hire. If you are declared as an independent on that app, independently, you are applying for hire. You are applying for hire. If you lose the case, then maybe they should be paying employment rights. Maybe they should be paying maternity leave and sick pay and holiday pay and giving you legal recourse. That's because they're controlling you like an employer would. If not, you're an independent. It's a win-win situation. You know, and I think the trade has been in a place of incertitude, this uncertainty, for too long. And I think that's anxiety driving, this place of limbo, not knowing what's going to be. I think it's long enough. I think the time has come where we get a definition on the apps for sure, and we play a part in that. And certainly we put in the process of taking TfL to court. Doesn't get any better than that. There's a misconduct Raya case as well. I don't want you to think that because the case is going against Uber that it shouldn't go against TfL. There's a bit of a danger in that because, you know, they think they've got something going. A lot of people do blame Uber, even though they wouldn't be here if TfL hadn't licensed them. So we're all firmly down to TfL. They are the nucleus. Didn't have to happen, did it? And you, me, and everybody else didn't ask for this political route. We asked to go out, do the knowledge, go out, work hard, go home and feed our families. That is it. That's all we wanted to do. We didn't buy into this. And so, somewhere down the line, someone's got to end up in court. Is that it? That's it, folks.
Good night, everybody.
Good night. I mean, you say how hairy he was, but, you know, you want to see him when he comes out in his chaps of XXL. I mean, he's a sight.
When I come out of the shower.
I've got a little bit of news on our other electric taxi that might be available.
Brilliant.
Been told by...
Hang on, which one's this?
The Nissan.
The Nissan Dynamo.
Been told by Peter Walsh, the ex-secretary of the branch, which we haven't got at the moment. But Dynamo have contacted him, and the engineers have ensured him that it won't be available before March, or very unlikely to be available before March next year.
Okay. Is that it? Okay, well, that's what we aim for.
So, if you're waiting to get one... sitting on your hands, you're going to have to sit on your hands a little bit longer.
Well, thanks for that information anyway. So that's Scott Wolsey. I was joined by Lenny Everidge. That's a rarity. And, of course, the General Secretary of the UCG. That's Trevor Merrills. Brilliant stuff. Good stuff. Nice to have him down here. I hope after, keeping his own counsel for 12 months, he'll be coming on and giving us regular updates about the litigation. That's me. This is Sean Paul Down signing out. Like I say, all those ways of getting hold of me, londontaxiradio.co.uk via Facebook, London Taxi Radio at Facebook, and you can go to the Twitter, DM me at London Taxi Radio. That's all from me. I've got Miss Myrna Bourne, thumbs up, thumbs down, I don't know. She's, well, there's a poll in there, and so she's having a good time. That's it from me this week, and I'll see you out there on the main street. Here's a little bit of Chewy Sims. You see, I thought the name would just come out as I said it, but it didn't. But eventually, here is Come Into My Life. I just might.
Just for cabbies.